That's right. That's James chapter 2, verses 14 through 19, and that's our context for today's message. So welcome. Glad you guys joined us this morning. And as you've heard already, it's family service. I'm super excited to have the youth ministry and children's ministry join us in service today. And kids, that doesn't mean this is the Sunday where you go to the big people's church and you check out and you don't learn anything. Because I think God has spoken to me this week about some things he wants to share with you. Okay? So listen carefully. And there might even be some funny stuff that you can laugh at too. So just listening to that verse, we can see that, and we know from studying kind of half of James up till now, that James talks a lot about behavior. You know, just observing behavior, and what does that tell us about ourselves? What does that tell us about people? Can we just have some fun and observe some behaviors, or think about some behaviors that we observe in daily life? My mom was really, one of her favorite activities was people watching. Anybody like to people watch? Come on. People watching, in the definition that I'm talking about, is she would love to just be at a public place, a mall, or, you know, we were at Disneyland and we do that, or wherever we were, you just find a place to sit down where there's lots of people walking by and just watch them, observe their behaviors. And I never got the feeling that my mom was doing that, like, critically, like, ooh, look at her hair, and that guy really walks weird. But she just was honestly interested in just, wow, look at that behavior. Look at how that family interacts. Or, man, I wonder what's going on between those two, that they kind of are talking with that tone or have that look on their face. And so we do that. I mean, as a kid, it's like, we're going to people watch now, you know. Jeff, we did this fun thing over here. Now you're going to do something I enjoy. And we just sit there and watch people. But I think because of that, I developed this ability to just sit and observe and appreciate people and their behavior. Now, I want to talk about some kind of funny behaviors that we do, though, and I'll start by picking on myself, okay? I talk to animals, okay? Anybody else here talk to animals in English, okay? Sometimes. Yeah, I talk to animals, though, at the same rate that I talk to people. So my dog, in the amount of time that I spend with my dog in a typical day, gets as many words from me as any of my other members of my family, okay? My dog understands three words, only three words. One is food, to the point where we have to spell out the word if we're talking to each other and we don't want Samson to know that we're talking about food, or he gets ready for dinner before it's time. He understands the word ball, and if he hears that in a sentence of gibberish from me and the word ball comes up, he knows it's time to go look for anything that's loose on both ends that he can bring to me that I can throw to him. He also understands the word deer. So he knows that if I come out on the front porch and say deer, he's going to rip around the house as fast as he can and look to the fruit trees where the deer are eating my fruit trees. And he's going to chase them off the property. So he understands those three, but I still talk to him in all kinds of words. I talk to my chickens, okay? Sometimes there's a problem with production in the hen house, and I have to have a firm talk with one of my hens, right? Or bullying is a problem in chicken coops. And, you know, and it's not the rooster usually, okay? The hens can be mean, and there's a rogue Rhode Island Red that I have to, like, really have a sit-down talk with. And so I'll do that. Okay, so that's me. A couple other quick just observations I've made about people. Some people, when they eat and they're talking with you or you're talking to them, they cover their mouth while they're chewing. Okay? Some of you probably do that. Now, just we're observing behavior and laughing at ourselves, okay? I'm not judging anybody here. But I do have to ask, why do you do that? Why do you cover your mouth? Is it maybe gives permission to eat with your mouth open? Maybe it's so that you catch any food that while you go, just go ahead and talk with your mouth full of food, you're just going to spit on your hand instead of my face. I don't exactly know why you do that, but it's a behavior, okay? Cell phones, speaker phones, okay? The speaker phone setting on your cell phone. My understanding of a speaker phone is you use that feature when you want to be able to set your phone down and move around and do something and kind of be hands-free, Or maybe there's two or three people in the room who want to have a conversation with the person on the phone, and now you can all speak into that and kind of be at a, you know, normal distance away from it and communicate. But I observe people at the grocery store, you know, at the gym, wherever it is, you know, a guy who has it on speakerphone setting, so you can hear the whole conversation, but his mouth is this, it's about the same distance away, and then there's still a problem with being able to hear it now that it's on speakerphone, so they'll talk, and they'll, what? And they'll hold it up to their ear, and so it's just this little move, just click off the speaker, and just hold it like this, and then you could talk. And they're usually having a conversation with somebody, and there's people, it's in a public place, and nobody else is a part of that conversation, but they are, because I got to hear this guy talking to this guy, and it's loud. Anyways, just observations of behavior. That doesn't like make me angry or anything. It's just kind of funny, the different things that we do. And as Christians, we observe behavior, I would say, quite a bit. We focus on behavior a lot. You know, we watch our own behaviors. We watch other people's behaviors, right? And then we watch other people's behaviors. And then we watch other people's behaviors. And we watch other people's behaviors. Come on, I got one giggle over here. Okay, now I can stop saying it because you guys laughed at my stupid joke. So, see, you're learning. Laugh, and I can move on, okay? But I think what James is trying to teach us this morning, what we'll look at in the verses this morning, is there is a connection between our behavior and our beliefs, okay? There's something we're believing. And at a funny level, there's something I'm believing about my dog's ability maybe to understand me, because I can just see it in his eyes. I know he just somehow, I know he understands what I'm saying, and therefore I talk to him. Let's pray this morning, and then we'll jump back into those verses that Samuel shared with us. So, Lord, I believe that there's something deeper you want to accomplish here this morning. I believe that we didn't just gather here to get information or knowledge, to just learn more about what you're like, God, or about what we're like, but that you want to have a relationship with us and communion with us, and that includes right now in this time, as we look into your word. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us understanding of your word and these verses that you're sharing with us through our brother James, and the wisdom that you want us to learn from that and the change you want it to bring in our lives. So we just give you permission to do that work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool, so first part of our passage today says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Can you hear any humor in that? I mean, can we just say there's a little bit of humor in that? I think James is making a point very obvious. I mean, if I was outside a Safeway, for example, let's say my house burned down, I lost everything. I've been wearing the same clothes now for a month or so, and they're getting raggedy, and I'm like day to day just trying to get food. And one of you who knows me walks into Safeway to go buy a meal. You know, to go by, you're going to have a big dinner, turkey dinner, whatever, and for your family. And you're walking in the door, and you see me like, Jeff, like, what's going on? How you doing? Tell you the story, house burned down, and this is all I got, and I'm just hoping to get through another day. I don't have enough food really to get through this day, but I'm hoping, you know, somebody's going to be able to help. Oh, man, Jeff, dude, I love you. You're my brother, okay? James is talking about brothers and sisters here. This is my opportunity to really bless you. Jeff, I tell you what I'm going to do. Let's pray. God, I just pray that you would bless Jeff, that you would help him, that you would fill his stomach, that you would clothe his body. Lord, I pray that he would feel the love of his brother right now and your love, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jeff, be blessed, man. When I come back out of this Safeway, I hope you've got a pile of food sitting here and a couple of bags of clothes, because I love you and I care about you. See you later. And you walk away. Okay, there's humor in this. James is trying to make a point. And there's probably some observation of this behavior going on, and some of the people probably chuckled a little, and then they got a serious look on their face when this letter was being read to the church from James. There's something we can learn from the animal kingdom on this point, okay? Cats, all right? We're going to do a little comparison between cats and donkeys. Thought I was going to say dogs, didn't you? Okay, cats, I've observed cats as they put up kind of a front that they actually care about you. Sometimes they'll rub on your leg, you know, and they'll just sit in that windowsill when you're driving by the house, and they just look like, I would play with you if you came in the house. Okay? They catch mice, and they leave them on your front door like they want to provide. Okay? But I have exclusive footage of cats and how they treat each other within the family of cats. Okay? Brothers and sisters. And look what I found out. See that? Now, one of those cats can tell me that he loves me all he wants, but I know by his actions what he really thinks. Where on the other hand, donkeys, now they have a bad rap, okay? They go by another name that is just not appropriate and is not becoming of their character. Because look what I discovered about them. Donkeys can teach the cat something about how to treat each other. So we can see that from the way donkeys treat each other, that we could trust them and how they would treat us, right? That they're really good. But the point is, ridiculous as that is, it's true about people and what we observe of people and what the world is observing of us as Christians and what we talk about versus what we say to them, how we treat them. Do we come when there's a need that we could meet? Okay, are we moved to do that? How do we communicate on social media, for example? Whatever it is, since that's a hot topic right now. One of the things I want to look at is that connection between belief and behavior, and maybe gain some ground with that this morning. The next verse says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So kids, I don't know if you know, we have a ministry at Adventure Church, Fruit Bearers. Have you ever heard of that ministry? And that's Wes and Judy Robbie. Felt like God said, go to the Philippines and find these kids who need help. Maybe they have a problem they can't hear or they can't see or they need an operation, and show them my love, God said. Show them my love. And they're doing that, and they have a team of people there who are doing that. But the effect of that has been people are believing in God. Okay, you'd think it'd be the other way around. Just tell people how much God loves you and they're just going to believe, and then they kind of have to deal with their troubles and their problems and the needs that they have and everything on their own. But God loves you, okay? What if fruit bearers said, we're not going to help the kids anymore. We're not going to do surgeries. We're not going to teach the deaf. We'd have so much more time just to tell people how God loves them if we stopped doing those things, okay? And we could even hand out more Bibles and stuff because we wouldn't be paying for these surgeries. So they could do that. Do you think that would be more effective? You think that's a good idea and I should share it with them? No? Why is that not a good idea, Samuel? Right. The help would stop. And that's what they need right then in the moment. And once they receive that help, they actually feel like, wow, God does care enough to do something about my need. Who is this God? I want to know more. And that's what James is saying. That's how it works. Is when you live out of what you believe, people want to know more. Isn't that true in your life? Think back to when you came to Christ and the people that you knew and the people who are sharing God with you. Usually there's some kind of action involved there that kind of convinced you that, wow, you know, this person's life is different because they believe. They're not like everybody else except they say, I believe in God. I'm going to show you a picture, okay? And this represents a journey, represents your life and kind of moving forward. You start with truth down here, okay? So let's say as a Christian, you've come to put your faith in Jesus. And you put your faith in Jesus because you recognize you're a sinner, and those sins make the separation between God because he's not a sinner. It's not just because he's a grumpy old man. No, he's a loving, righteous, wonderful, beautiful God. And he wants to have relationship with us, but there's these sins that stand in the way. And so he sent his only son without sin to make the payment. Death is that payment, that separation, and Jesus died for us. So you put your faith in Christ that now you can approach God, okay? That's the truth that you're standing on. But all of us start walking through life after that point, and we have thoughts, okay? We all have thoughts, and maybe early on, our thoughts are pretty much in alignment with the truth. But maybe there's some truth we still haven't learned. But the truth that we have learned, we're living out of that, and we're aligning our thoughts with that. And it doesn't take long before we get off course. And the place we get off course is where the trail forks at the thoughts, okay? There's two trails you can go down. It's kind of dark, but this says right thinking and false thinking, wrong thinking, thinking that doesn't stand on the truth, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. You can follow truth into right thinking and right behavior, and it's not always going to be a sunny day, right? We understand that here in Washington. And sometimes there's going to be a storm or whatever, but we're going to be walking in God's ways, and then God's going to help us through that thing. If you think about how that plays out, we're talking at a spiritual level, but let's just think about back to behavior again, just silly behaviors that we have. Okay, how big is a common mouse? You know, maybe body's about that big, you know, and then there's a tail that's a couple inches long. How many of you in here believe that that thing could single-handedly grab your leg, tackle you to the ground, and just beat the tar out of you? How many of you believe that? Okay, except for Susan and this cute girl over here. Okay, I'm here to tell you the truth. A mouse can't do that. Okay, smallest kid in here, you can take a mouse, okay? You can catch that mouse and hand it to your mom. It's not going to be... No, I'm just kidding. You stay away from the mice, okay? But they're not going to tackle you down and beat you up, okay? But if you believe differently, how are you going to react when you see a mouse?
Oh, baby.
Look at that thing.
Сейчас уберу. Мышка, брысь.
Okay. Does that seem like it aligns up with the truth that I just shared with you? No, she's like really afraid. And I'm not just picking on women because I'm afraid like that of mice. I might not scream that high. But when I'm driving to work, and we live out in the country, and sometimes, you know, mice get into the van. And you just see it out of the corner of your eye. You know, just cross the floor on the passenger side. And you're like, I'm going to just believe that I didn't see that right now. And then you look down, and it kind of stops halfway and looks at you and goes back under the chair. I mean, I want to put my feet up on the dashboard while I'm driving. I'm just picturing the thing running up my pant leg. And I grab it about right here, and it starts biting my calf, and... But the truth is, it's, you know, one stomp of the foot and you can take care of most mice. Right? Or you can catch it and let it go outside and let your dog eat it, okay? I've done both. And I have fed them to my pet snake, too. There's lots of things you can do with a rascally mouse that's trying to beat you up. Okay, what was my point here? Give me just a second. There's something about mice, and I will find it. So as we think at a deeper level now, okay, getting past the mice and the, maybe even just Facebook and truth, it's a social media tool that could be used to stay connected with friends and family over what's going on in your life, okay? But maybe because of what we're believing, we think this is a great place for me to post something and then watch really carefully how many likes I get, okay? And I'm going to walk away with that somehow with some kind of sense of how important I am to them, if what I have to say really matters, if my friends pay attention to my life at all. And we go down this road of we build all this stuff into it, and we're checking it in. We're, you know, we got our phone out, and oh, yes, 15 likes. This is awesome. And 2 comments, okay? And then we check it later, and 3 days later, we're still checking it. And so we've gone from maybe a truth about something, a tool, and we've taken it down a road because of behavior. What I want to say this morning is God is a God of relationship, okay? And it's about relationship with him. I want to stop us kind of halfway through this James series and make sure we're not going down the road of, oh, I get it, okay. James is saying, do these things, and it's going to show that my faith is real. Okay, what do I do? Where do I sign up? Let's do this. No, James is saying, look at your behavior, okay? Jeff's outside a Safeway, and he doesn't have any food or proper clothing, and you're walking by saying, man, bless you, be warmed and well-fed. That's not right. Let's, can we get to the core of where that's coming from and what you're believing? Because this is who you are in Christ, and that should play out in how you live. Last verse says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Okay, humor again. James is kind of stating the obvious. People are kind of sitting back, comfortable. The Jews at that time, they were very proud of the fact, and rightfully so, that they stuck with their faith in one God. And all the cultures around them had all these different little gods and household gods, and they had little figurines and stuff, and they put them in their house and worshiped those things. And the Jews are like, no, we believe in one God, Jehovah, and we worship him. Okay? But James is saying, don't just stop at, yeah, we believe there's one God and all that other stuff's garbage. That's not enough, because even Satan's gotten that far. Even the demons believe. Is your faith deeper and more rooted than that? Why do you think it says the demons shudder when they think about the fact that there's one God? Does anybody have any ideas? Why would they shudder? Why is that scary to them? Why do they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
They know what he's capable of. They know what's where you're from.
They know what God's capable of. So there's the one God and... Mm-hmm. Did I see a hand over here? Okay, that's okay. Yeah. Okay, if you remember, let me know. They know who's going to win. Yeah. Yes. You got it.
If people believe there's only one God, they know there's just one God, and there's nothing else. So Satan can't trick them into doing anything
bad. Oh, so maybe they're afraid that people are going to discover that truth. And it kind of puts them out of business, doesn't it? Yeah. That's a good one. One of the big differences between us and the demons, when it comes to believing that there's one God, is we have relationship with God, too. And the demons don't have that. They had opportunity for that, but they chose to say, we're not going to follow. Yeah, we can't deny the fact God is real, but we're not going to follow him. And people can be in that place, too. one of the things that happened to me this morning was I was driving in to church here, and I saw a car kind of parked cattywampus on the side of the road. Drove a little bit further, and there's a guy walking through the rain with a gas can towards town. But this is way out Cherry Valley Road, like it's a long walk. And so I pulled over and said, hey, you need some gas? And jump in, I'm heading into town. And took him into town, and he got some gas, and I drove him back out to his car. And on the way back out, we were talking about life and work, and he asked me what I do, and told him I was a pastor. He's like, oh, like he kind of wanted to know what I believe. I shared what I believe, and then I asked him what he believed. He said, well, I don't believe in God, but I do believe in being good to other people and being moral and caring about other people and helping meet their needs. And he said all those great things that we're talking about. And I only share that because, you know, he seemed like a really nice guy too. And I invited him to church. I hope he comes, hangs out with us some morning. But doing those good things doesn't make relationship with God. That doesn't create. So here's a guy who had no relationship with God, and from his own words, he said, and he does good things. So we have to be careful about running down that road of feeling like if we just kind of make ourselves do good things enough times, then our faith will be real. But we also have to be careful about kind of sitting and doing nothing like James is speaking to and feeling like, you know, when God picks me up by the scruff of my neck and drags me around over here and makes me help this person and shakes me, and then I'm going to do it, you know, because that's God. You know, that's not me and my works and my efforts. Now, I think James is saying we're going to have to get up. We're going to have to do things, but we don't stop there. It's relationship. Yeah, let's wait on that just one more second. Okay, real quickly, I just want to say Paul, the Apostle Paul, is another teacher in the Bible, and he teaches us a lot of cool stuff about God. And one of the things he taught us about is the relationship of our heart and our mind, okay? He says that it's with our hearts that we believe, okay? So we're kind of learning this morning that behaviors sometimes don't line up with what we believe, okay? Like, how many of you would freak out if a mouse just ran in here and ran up your leg? You'd probably scream, okay? I'm raising my hand. Anybody else? Okay? But none of you except Susan raised your hand when I said, do you believe that a mouse is going to really hurt you, harm you, have the ability to really do damage, okay? So our behavior isn't lining up with our belief on that. Paul said that not only do we believe with our hearts, but he said that we need to be transformed. What does transformed mean? Changed by the renewing of our minds, okay? So that truth in our hearts needs to go up and affect our minds. And what kind of mind are we capable of having? The mind of Christ, of Jesus. And Paul teaches us that because he said the spirit of a person knows the mind of a person. So your spirit in you knows what you're thinking right now. Okay? If you're starting to fall asleep, your spirit knows what's going on in your mind or what's not going on in your mind that's causing you to start falling asleep right now. And Paul says that the spirit of God in Christ and knows his mind. And when we receive Jesus, we got that spirit in us. So Paul's saying, Spirit of God lives in you. You have the capability of aligning with the mind of Christ. You know, how did Jesus always have the right thing to say? He always knew the right thing to do in every situation. Sometimes it was to walk away from a situation. Sometimes it was to engage with people. And sometimes it was just to say these three words and then go. He always knew what to do. We can have that too. And it's not going to be from our own intellect and our own minds. It's going to be allowing the Spirit of God that lives in us to continue to transform us by the renewing of our minds. Okay? And then, in that context where God says that we can have the mind of Christ, he says, then and only then will you be able to discern what God's will is, his good, perfect will. How many times have you just, God, what am I supposed to do here in this situation? What am I supposed to do? I need to hear you. And Paul is saying, you're on that track, you're on that journey, you're on that relationship with God to where God wants to reveal what his perfect will is for you, specifically you, in your life, in your situation, whatever you're facing. So we're going to run through these. Last service, this screen wasn't working. So it was interesting. Everyone had to keep going and looking to the back screen. But so here's a graph, and I know it's kind of small, so if you can't see it, I had to kind of make it small to fit everything on here. But there's three columns: truth, false thinking, and behavior. So we start with the truth. But if our thinking isn't aligned with the truth, some other kind of behavior is going to come out of that. So the first truth that it says up here is, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's John 10:27. That's a truth from God's word. And there's many other truths, verses, that support that idea that we can hear from God. And examples in scripture of people just like you and me who hear God and are led by his voice. Okay? That's a truth. But if we have a false thinking that says, I cannot hear God's voice, I have tried, and I just can't. I believe he speaks to some people, but I'm different. God doesn't do that with me. Okay? Maybe some of us can identify with that false thinking. The behavior could be, if you believe that, that you will say, I will not talk with God, I will talk to God. I will make personal decisions in my life based on my best judgment of what I think God would want me to do. And you might be able to find a scripture or two that says, nope, there's this scripture here, so I know that I'm supposed to go to this college instead of this college. Because this scripture says, but this college over here, the scripture would be okay with that one too. I wonder if I should ask, you know what, I'm just going to make a good decision. Because I'm kind of on the out with this whole hearing God thing, and that's just not a privilege that I can enjoy. So I'm gonna go ahead and make a decision. And it's kind of like, not just in what to do, but even in how you feel about yourself. So BJ was sharing with me in the staff meeting this week an analogy that kind of came to him, which I thought was cool. He was sharing how, you know, it's like if you had a friend who wrote you a note, wrote you a card that just told you really true things, deep true things about you, that just when you read it, you're like, oh, this is truth. This is what I needed to stand on in hard times. And you go with that letter for a while, and it just really rings true, and you go back to it and you revisit it, and then you go through something where you're like, man, I'd really love to hear my friends say those things again. I know I have it written. It's right here in front of me, but I'd really love to hear my friend's voice. I'm going to call him up. You call up your friend. Oh, man, let's get together, and you share what's going on in your life, and they just speak those truths in person to you again. Same things. Nothing's opposing to what was written in the card. It's the same heart. It's the same friend. But he communicates them to you personally. And it just sinks in deep. And it has this effect that causes you to live differently in those situations and to live out of the truth. I thought that was kind of cool. That's kind of the difference of just the written word of God, which has that huge effect that I described, and then also being able to go to God and hear it personally. I love you. You're my child. I will always provide for you everything that you need that's best for you in your life. You can trust me. You know, you can find that in the word of God, and you can hear that from his voice. Another truth, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Let me translate that for those of you who are like, what did Pastor Jeff just say? You're forgiven. If you've put your faith in Jesus, those bad things that you've done, God says, my son's got that covered. Rest. Stop worrying about if God's mad at you, because he isn't. But a false thinking we might have is, I've done some things that might not be forgiven by God. I've asked God to forgive me, which is important, but I'm not sure. It's impossible to know for sure if I'm really totally forgiven. I hope I end up in heaven when this is all over. Okay? I felt like that before. And man, did it affect my behavior. Especially my behavior with God and my relationship and how I interacted with him. This is what can happen there. I will stay in the background at church, and I'm not going to have any close relationships with Christians. Church and fellowship only remind me that God is probably mad at me. Close relationship with God, are you kidding? I'm not one to hang out with someone who is disappointed in me. And I'm not sure he wants to spend time with me either. And so we kind of fade into the background there because he's the angry God on the throne. That's just kind of, and then there's this one, you know, who's done these things and you're not forgiven. It's really hard to have a close relationship with God when your thinking is not lined up with the truth about what God thinks. Okay, one more. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. What does it mean to be a part of the body of Christ? Well, that's the picture, yeah?
It means to be a Christian.
It means to be a Christian, exactly. And when you're a Christian, Paul was teaching us with this picture of a body that the church, not just Adventure Church, but the whole church, any Christian church, we're all a part of the body of Christ. And how many people have a part in that body? It says each one of you. So if you believe in Jesus and you're a part of the Christian church, you have a part of the body of Christ. Did you have a comment? Oh, you're just raising your hand. Okay. So how many of you feel like you have an important part? Is there an unimportant part of the body of Christ? That would be the question that comes with that truth. I can't see an unimportant part of the body of Christ. And Paul's point when he was teaching that was, let me use the body as an example. You take one thing away that doesn't seem like it's important, and you'll know why it was important as soon as you take it away. Okay? Take the little dealy bobber out of the inside of your ear that helps you balance. You know, At this moment, I wasn't really thinking that was that important, but, you know, you take that off, and I'm going to fall down here and knock the communion table over, and it becomes really important. Okay? What if your thinking is only pastors and missionaries have an important role in God's story? Oh, and maybe worship leaders too, and I guess Sunday school teachers, but that's it. Okay? What if you believe that? That there really isn't an important role that you play in the body of Christ, then you might act like this. I will find my real fulfillment in something besides joining God in his mission. My skills and abilities don't really match with anything God would want to use. After first service, I was talking with a friend of mine who loves to play music, and I didn't get his permission, so there's no way you're going to figure out who this is, but I'm going to share it. He loves to play music just kind of in like restaurants, different places. He has these venues where he plays music. And he was sharing with me how he's discovered this joy of using, it's just background music, you know, all people are eating their dinner. And he loves using Christian songs now. And it's just instrumental. And most people have no idea. It's just, wow, that's a pretty song. But there's this meaning to it that he knows. And there's these hymns he's playing and stuff. And he's noticed this encouragement that he can bring even to the Christians in the room. Because he's like, as soon as I start one of those songs, it just mixes it in, you know, 3-4 songs. And then he throws in this hymn or whatever. And people like set their fork down. Now people, you know, some just kind of scattered in the room are looking at him like, you know, and they smile, and one guy came up to him afterwards and was like, hey, that song really blessed me. And then, you know, we just started talking about, wow, think of the potential with this, like praying over that time, asking God to just use the meaning of those songs, even in just the instrumental form, to just change the spiritual atmosphere in that restaurant and affect conversations that are going on and encourage somebody who knows what that song says. So I thought that was cool. There's all these different ways that you can do that. If you guys want to pass out I'm going to give a bookmark thing to everybody. Everybody gets one, kids. Get a bunch of people helping with that, and it'll get done quicker. There's a bunch of truths on this card. And what I want to end with this morning is truth. But also, I think the challenge that we're seeing in James here is, we're going to go right to that. I think the challenge we're seeing this morning from James is connect your belief with your behavior, okay? But let's go the other way too and be willing to ask the question of God, why do I do that thing? Or why am I not doing this thing? Is it just because I'm lazy and I should be doing more and I got to get up and go do that thing? Or is there something I'm believing that actually is even more important for God to father us in, to teach us about something that doesn't line up with the truth? I want to read through these truths with all of you. You can follow along on your bookmark. And as I read them, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that as truth is read, it would take root, or it would remind us of the truth that we hold in our hearts at such a deep level that it would begin to affect our behavior. But God, at any of these, for anybody in this room, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just ping them, that you would alert them to one of these truths that maybe they're not living out of or not fully embracing. Maybe one that they don't even believe is true. Just draw their attention to it, Lord, and then show us what to do after that. So let's go. I am accepted. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord, one spirit. I am bought with a price. I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a saint. I have been adopted as God's child. I have access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been redeemed and forgiven. I am complete in Christ. And then, just so you guys know, those letters in numbers on the side there, you can find those verses in the Bible that explain those truths. So next section, I am secure. I am free forever from condemnation. I am assured all works together for good. I am free from any charge against me. Do these feel true? Are they setting in? I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am established, anointed, sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected. I am a citizen of heaven. Awesome. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. I reject fear. This is the truth. I can find grace and mercy in time of need. I am born of God. The evil one can't touch me. I am the salt and light of the earth. These are, I am significant to God, how he views me. I'm salt and light of the earth. I am a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. These are I statements for all of us. I am Christ's personal witness. I am God's temple. Temple is a place where God lives, so God lives in me. I am a minister of reconciliation for God, helping people know how to get right with God. That's my ministry. That's your ministry. I am God's co-worker. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those are truths that we can live by. Challenge I want to give to each of us and myself is on any one of those points, if something kind of hits you, like, wow, yeah, I'm thinking about what I'm probably believing about this truth that's counter to it in my life. Would you talk with God about it? I don't think we do that very often. We just keep plugging away. We keep plowing through life. Make enough space to just stop. God's not going to go after everything in our lives at once, thank God. He doesn't overwhelm us with that, okay? But there's something he brings to the surface, and if we don't give attention to it, he keeps bringing it to the surface. And the situations of our life continue to point to that thing. And it's not because God's mad at you. It's because he wants freedom from that for you, and he wants you to represent the truth of who you are. So challenge is, I would say that James is teaching us that a living faith will actually affect how we live. Okay? So the encouragement this week is take that thing to God and let him speak into it through his word. Let him speak truth to you and affect your life in that way, and then start walking in the truth. A worship team can come up. We're going to end with a song. And as they do that, I just want to remind you again of the heart of worship is declaring those truths. There's prayer available up front here after they worship if you want prayer for something. I want to say, too, you know, if going through this service this morning, you feel like God spoke something to you, maybe something on that list, maybe a behavior that you're like, I keep running into this and I'm tired of just looking the other way and just continuing with life. I want to see some change in that, and I want to hear God in that, but I didn't even know how to listen to God. Just fill out a connection card and say, would love to meet with a pastor. I'd be glad to sit down with you and just seek God together and explore what does it look like to actually ask that question, God, why? Why do I do this? And how do I start living out of the truth? So, yeah, I'll pray, and then you guys can take us into worship. Lord, we do just declare that these are truths of your word. And Lord, we declare right now as we enter back into a time of worship, it's not just what we do at the end of a service to sing a song. It's actually spiritual warfare to declare truth and say, I stand on this truth. And my thinking is going to line up with the truth because that's the work of the Spirit in me to transform me to have the mind of Christ. And so we declare this song to be truth over us, and that we will live from it. And Lord, be blessed. You smile on us when we sing truth to you. Amen.